This is Engineer Eric from Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part two of our March 3rd, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
That's why they call him One Take Eric.
Oh, this is good.
I ain't got time to check no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home.
Got no soul.
Oh, my baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how much I got to spend now. Oh, I'm gonna find my way back home again. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home.
Yeah, you know, I'm guessing this guy must be a... The guy must be a congressman because he doesn't care how much he spends. He's going back home again. Obviously, he's a congressman.
Obviously. EJ, you got to tell him that just real quickly about
EJ's over here taking on the physical form of Joe Cocker.
he's a perfect John Belushi doing Joe Cocker.
I was just going to say.
It's EJ doing John Belushi doing Joe Cocker.
But you went.
I remember when you told me you went to the Joe Cocker concert.
Absolutely.
And then EJ goes, man, I got to get backstage this show. So he just jumps up on stage. The security guard looks at him and he goes,
are you supposed to be there? And he said, would I be up here if I weren't?
And I reached my hand into a cooler and pulled out a beer and popped it with my lighter. And I sat there and partied with the band for the rest of the night.
On a finals night,
no
doubt.
On a finals night.
Let me tell you, you can take finals anytime.
Yeah. You don't get to party.
There are some things that you got to do now. That's it. Worth the sacrifice. Well, we had to say goodbye to Jack Rhodes. He had another appointment.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. So anyway, not a problem. So we're still here with EJ.
Mm-hmm. Down still here from Washington. Still here. Eat more chocolate.
That's right. God, he gets that in there every time, doesn't he? And counselor?
Sam, I am.
Yep, there you are. And our mix master here. Good luck on getting this thing mixed.
It's going to be fun and exciting.
It's going to be we noticed before that the more tracks you get, it does get a little more complicated.
Yeah.
I always wondered why, you know, when you see those big 24 and 48 track mixers that those guys use in the big band, I mean, that has got to be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, back when we were doing it with the band, we had 48 tracks and there was no automation. So, like, if you screwed up something in a mix, you get to start over. So it was fun and excitement. No, they finally got a reflex system in there, which was the early ones. But, no sound tools, no Cool Edit Pro, no Adobe Audition. No, it's all just tape and fader movements. I mean, you know, because we had it played, it was like a choreograph. You're watching Scott and myself, we're running around the board, moving up faders to, like, we got tape down there, we're supposed to go, you know, tweaking EQs here left and right, you know, just jumping back and forth, you know, okay, you handle this thing, okay, I'm going to go over here. It's like, it was fun and it was great.
Well, those are the old days.
Hey, I'm telling you what, yeah.
I mean, when I think about it, of course, when I was growing up, it was Les Paul who came up with the, you know, the old Wallensack tape recorder where he would just record over his own voice and re-record again and again in order to get that multi. I mean, that was right. There was no mixing board. The mixing board was the tape recorder.
Right.
I mean, do you think of come away since then?
Do over.
Yeah, do over. That's right. What's first on the list? You got anything specific?
Let's see. Nope.
Okay. Well, I got. I want to talk a little bit, and I don't know if Poltergeist is going to want to weigh in on this. Probably not. But one of the things that's a little scary that came across, and I forget exactly who sent it to me. I think it was my friend Larry. H.R. 45 has been introduced into the House of Representatives, and this is called, for all of you who want to know, it is called the Blair-Holt Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2009. And one of the things, I don't know if you mentioned this, we're talking about as a country goes down the toilet, there are some things that happen kind of automatically. One is that they depreciate the currency, they institute a lot more rules and regulations. They up the fines. They try and up the taxes. We're talking also about wage and price controls is one of the things. Capital controls is a big deal. They, you know, going to get to the point where you literally can't take your money out of the country. And we've seen this in other countries here recently. I think Argentina. And, you know, in order to supposedly stop the money drain of their whatever their peso is down there out of the country as people are converting into dollars and hoofing it because they realize that the country's going down the toilet and the people in power, you know, are not happy about that. Well, one of the other things that obviously has happened here, and I'd forgotten about this previously, was gun control. Now, this is a fairly substantial gun control act. It's interesting. You can, it's on a website here, and it's, you know, you can go to the thomas.loc.gov, and it's, you can, I think if you just Google H.R. 45, it should come up. It's, this is not a Snopes thing. This is a real deal. At any rate, what it's going to do is to make it illegal to own a firearm, any rifle with a clip or any pistol, unless it's registered, you are fingerprinted,
or a cop,
you supply a current driver's license, and you supply your social security number. I mean, that is going to be illegal to own a firearm or rifle with a clip or any pistol.
This is even pre-existing stuff, right?
That's right. You will submit to a physical and mental evaluation at any time. I mean, they can declare they can declare you a mental defective.
No. Tell me about that. You will submit to a mental evaluation?
Yeah, physical or mental evaluation at any time.
At whose request? With what reasonable notice or something?
They get a warrant for that, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's in the bill. The bill apparently is fairly extensive, and that's one of the...
That's huge, I mean...
No, because as you know, a mental impairment is a reason not to own a firearm.
Right, and nobody can pass a mental test.
No.
Certainly nobody in this room.
No, there's no question about it. No, I mean, by definition, if you some of the things that you do... are going to disqualify you. And of course, when you say a physical, what happens if, you know, I'm sorry, you still have your forefinger, so you can pull the trigger, so you're not, you
sorry,
can't.
You're physically incapable. Yeah, you're physically,
yeah, we're going to have to remove that forefinger, and then you can have a gun. Each update, change of ownership through private or public sale must be reported at cost $25. Failure to do so, automatically, you lose the right to own a firearm and are subject up to a year in jail.
Owning a gun, protected
by
the Second
Amendment. Selling it privately?
Right. Without telling them. If you sell it privately, you transfer the ownership of the gun without telling them, and pay the $25 in order to have it in order to have that particular piece of paper, you know, transferred or whatever it is. If you fail to do that, you know, you sell it at a garage sale or something and they catch you, you automatically lose, I guess what that means is no appeal. You automatically lose your right to own a firearm and are subject up to a year in jail.
See, that's unconstitutional. I mean, it doesn't mean they can't pass the bill. It doesn't mean they won't start to enforce it.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that the Supreme Court will recognize it as unconstitutional. But I'm telling you.
I recognize it as unconstitutional.
Yeah. I mean, that's a deprivation of rights without due process, you know.
Okay. There's a child provision clause on page 16, section 305, stating child access provision. Gun must be locked and inaccessible to any child under 18.
I thought you were just going to stop after inaccessible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They would have the right to come and inspect that you are storing your gun safely away from accessibility to children, and a fine is punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
Now, is that any gun or the ones with the clips? You know, I mean, like, let's say you got a little revolver, pistol, or something. You know,
firearm. Any firearm that is accessible. The kid is 17 years and 300 days old, and they come in and they say, "Oops,
you know,
you can get to this gun, and therefore we're hauling you off, and you're going to jail for 5 years."
Right now, in the state of Florida, the pieces, individual pieces of the gun, are considered firearm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, magazine and stuff like that is considered a firearm.
So you got a magazine, and the kid's able to get to it, that's a 5-year prison liability.
Oh, my God. And if you think this is a joke, it says here, if you think it's a joke, go to the website and take your pick of the many options to read this.
Oh.
It's long and lengthy, a little redundancy there, but more and more people are becoming aware of this, pass it along, and so forth. And as it says here, this is a termite approach to complete confiscation of guns, disarming our society, and the point... We have no defense. Chip away a little here and a little there until the goal is accomplished before anybody realizes it. And of course, we've talked about that as the boiling of the frog on so many occasions. This is the one act you ought to, you know, write somebody about. Of course, again, you can write them all you want. They're still going to go for it. I mean, to think that they would actually bring this up with the pretty clear wording of the Second Amendment, that they would actually bring this up at all is a little scary. I mean, I'm kind of wondering.
It's just shocking to me that this is the Second Amendment. You know, it wasn't like way down on the list of constitutions.
Yeah, it was
the
16th Amendment.
Yeah,
it wasn't the 14th
it was
Amendment.
Dose,
it was
numbered
dose. The first one, speak freely. Second one, protect yourself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, that's the first one they're going to crush. And once they take away your right to protect yourself,
Well, as I said, sir, if you take my gun, if you take my gun, only the criminal will have one to use against me. H.R. 45 only makes us less safe. After working with convicts for 20, this is written by, I forget who it is, by working with convicts for 26 years, I know this bill, if passed, would make them happy and less danger from their victims. I mean, and that's absolutely true. They talked about home invasions in Great Britain after the gun control laws were passed. And of course, nowadays, I don't know if you remember this, but for years, even I remember first time I went to London, the cops didn't carry guns. Nobody carried a gun. And, you know, the bobbies would walk up and down the street. They had a nightstick, and that was about it. But the point is that today they're heavily armed, and they've, you know, had the very strict gun control, so you can't have one. And the home invasions have skyrocketed. So they, you know, this is, you're asking yourself, well, gee, how could that be? And it's obvious on its face that this is the kind of thing that happened. I mean, yes, you know, think about it for a second. If a guy's a criminal and he's going to, and he obviously does not fear going to jail that much if you're a criminal, you know, oh, so I'm going to get caught. I will do everything I can not to get caught. But look, I'm willing to do the, my risk reward ratio here says that the rewards for breaking
chances
into somebody's
are,
house
are nobody's going to have a gun but me.
Right. So I will get away with it. And I mean, it's obvious on its face that it's somebody that has a criminal intent anyway. Is gonna feel freer to just go in and do all this stuff. It's
not much of a stretch, you know.
No, it's not a stretch at all. I mean, it's obvious, as I say, it's on its face. And I'm saying, why would you want to do this? Why would you, Mr. Congressman person, whatever is H.R. 45, want to disarm the American public?
Well, I can think of a reason. No, they don't want to take over. They really believe that everybody will just turn in their guns and that then there won't be any guns out there. And that crime will drop.
But what I'm saying is, where do they get this impression from? Where on this planet has that ever worked?
Crack. It's crack.
It hasn't worked before.
Crack gives them that idea.
We're going to do it right this time.
Crack.
We're going to do it right this time. Well, then, of course,
I don't know if they've ever tried a
citywide. D.C. did it several times, you know, where they had people.
And New York City is the same way. I mean, for New York City is the same way.
I know they've had like buybacks.
1,200 to 2,500 guns. You got 50 bucks.
Yeah, but have they ever mandated
chocolate chip cookie
everybody turn in your gun or else, the way they did with the gold?
I think they did it. I think that is the way it is in England. I think it is in the UK.
Australia as well?
Australia.
Well, and again,
how'd that work?
Well, the thing about the one.
How's Road Warrior doing?
Yeah, the one thing, at least about Australia, well, no, never mind, I don't know about that.
Well, we got an email, there's an email going around, but it's a Snopes it, because it's got a bunch of
oh, you mean about the Australian thing?
About the Australian gun control.
Right. Yeah,
there's definitely one that was a false one involving the crime rates skyrocketing with their gun control type of thing like that.
Right.
But there was also some other ones that... again, sort of along this lines, the Ammunition Accountability Act.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then now again...
I think we talked about that.
I think we might have...
you should have, and if we haven't...
But I'm just saying, those are for real. I mean, they're passing them on a state-by-state basis.
And that's
basis.
One that basically registers every bullet.
Round.
Well,
right.
What is amazing every about round. That one is that it also regulates your home loaders. Your home reloaders.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
I mean, you have to register. And it's like a super felony. If you reload your own ammo,
yeah.
I mean, and they find out about it, my God. I'm stunned by the way that they continually nick away, as they say, the termite approach or boiling frog, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it is just...
If they can take away your gold, I mean...
Well, then that was another thing. I mean, we talked about that earlier. I mean, how they got away with outlawing a metal. I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, oh... what is it? Tomorrow's copper? I mean, what are you talking about? Gold? How did they get away with it for 40 years?
FDR did it by a proclamation under this bill here.
Well, I mean, when you see that kind of stuff actually can happen.
Right.
That's the scary part. I realize that probably a number of our listeners are a lot younger than Jimmy is, for instance. But, I mean, I've lived long enough to see I've been in very close proximity to the years when these things passed as normal. Yeah, what's wrong with the law against owning gold? And yet, now that I'm older and think about this, I think, how could anybody sensibly have thought that that was a good thing? I mean, what are you talking about? Well, of course, they were in the middle of the Depression, and of course, that's the beauty of a crisis, is in a crisis, government power always increases because they can say, we will fix your crisis for you. And you're scared. We know you're scared, but here's some food. And you don't have to worry about anything anymore. We'll take care of you. But you have to, salute allegiance to us and go along with our plan. And one of our things in the plan is we're going to buy back all your gold.
Okay, you say buy back. There you go. Let's talk about the Iron Cross, from the Prussian Empire, you know, where the King of Prussia said we've got to fund this war against what was it, Germany?
Well, that Prussia, it was Germany. So
it was against...
It's the Austro-Prussian War, there was one. Yeah, and I think that... Yeah,
right, against Napoleon, okay? So,
okay, could have been, yeah.
Yeah, so he got people... And so you actually, people came and they brought their family jewels and they traded them for iron. And that was like a huge badge of honor to wear, like an Iron Cross, because you took your family's jewels... You know, to support
pay for the
what
thing,
you
yeah.
believed was right, and perhaps fighting Napoleon was probably right. However,
he defeated him. You know, again, like the vast market, all of that would have gone away anyway. I mean, he might have gotten a little bit more, but if they just stayed out of the way, nothing much would have happened. I mean, he froze his butt off, and you know, marching back from Moscow, and he'd lost it all pretty much there. So it wasn't. What do you think? Well, I remember, of course, when you talk about your Iron Cross, it was interesting to see the same thing that happened in this country in the Second World War. It was all patriotic.
Right.
And you
exactly.
had paper drives and
right.
tin, everybody brought in their tin pans and,
right,
you know,
right,
got
right.
Heroes Medal for that. And then the other thing that you got to do if you were a little kid.
You got to buy, you were buying stamps.
Stamps. Or? They were like, and I think you could actually get a stamp for as little as 10 cents.
Yeah.
And you would put these in a booklet. And when you got up to like $5 or $10, you got a savings bond of some kind. I
forget. They would whack somebody with it.
Yeah, right. They would trade in for a roll of toilet paper.
No. They actually got some kind of a savings bond.
Right.
And, I mean, but, you know, the minimum purchase of those were, let's see, they were $25 bonds that I think they cost $18.75 and they're redeemable in like 15 or 20 or 30 years. And that was the way they were going to do it. So, but again, they went into debt to do it. So forth. I mean, those are the old times. So that kind of stuff goes along all the time. It is, and right now with, the people worshiping the Messiah practically at a rate of around 70-72%. I mean, he can pretty much get away with anything. It's a little scary to think that he might issue an executive decree. Who knows what it is? I mean, who knows? And get away with it. It's scary because, of course, when you look at some of the people that are voters these days or supporters or worshipers or whatever you want to call it, I'm not even saying they voted for him, but the people that approve of what he's doing don't have a clue what he's doing.
No,
that's the scary part. Because the education system's broken.
This week, they declassified some Bush documents, which were the things that authorized him to do the wiretapping, or I should say authorized their opinions from the Justice Department, which the lawyers gave Bush so that he could do whatever he wanted to do and still say, hey, I'm under the Constitution. But if you look at it, it wasn't so far-fetched. I mean, you look at the first 10 amendments. I mean, the first one says Congress shall make no laws. It doesn't say anything about the president making declarations, you know. Now, you get down to the Fourth Amendment, and it says that these things shall not be infringed. And that's the second also. And they won't take your gun. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. It doesn't say by a state or by a federal. It says by. It just shall not. Nobody's going to show infringement.
No one shall
right.
be able to take away your weapon.
Right. But even so, those documents point out that the Supreme Court has held that those rights, all of them, can be violated if the people determine that there's a compelling right.
Right. Compelling interest. And, of course, in a crisis, there's always a
right.
compelling. They can get away with anything in a crisis.
Right.
And that's, you know, you can suspend habeas corpus. You can take lock up enemy combatants, you know, no lawyers, no habeas corpus, no nothing, whatever it is. You can do the wiretap business. You can impose capital controls. You can make, you know, ownership of gold illegal. I mean, you can do all of those things.
So is it ironic?
In a crisis. What is interesting, of course, is once the crisis is over, supposedly, that all that stuff should revert. And after the Civil War, most of that stuff was reverted. Most of the stuff was after the Civil War. But since
you talk
then,
about that, you know, I mean, you know, suspending habeas corpus, and who is Obama's a hero as he pulled out the bust of Churchill from the one, from the Oval Office? He replaced it with the bust of Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was reading a screed or whatever thing here the other day, and I have to pull it out and do a little more research on this. Apparently, there's a bunch of people who are not in the government. They're Lincoln researchers, you know, the Lincoln Files or whatever you want to call them. And they said, you know, this myth about him unilaterally throwing out habeas corpus is a smokescreen. There was, in fact, according to these people, and I'm going to have to do a little more research on this because I've always felt that he did it illegally. But they said, no, actually, he was on some pretty firm ground here, and they told the story. I didn't tape it.
I read a pretty good amount about it, and I didn't see any firm ground there.
Okay, well, you're the lawyer.
I'll be happy taking a closer look at whatever you find if you got anything.
Yeah, it was, as I say, it was on the guy was giving a speech, and it was about that sort of thing. And I remember now where the speech was, and I'm going to have to go down and get a copy of it. But yeah, he actually outlined how that this mythology about him going against the law was, he hadn't actually, that there was a precedent, number one, and then there were people that, I don't know, Congress passed an act or something, he was just enforcing the law, maybe it was Congress that suspended habeas corpus, and he said, well, I'm the executive, I have to support this, I mean, I have to do it, I'm not sure.
Well, we'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that, that's right. So, yeah, well, it was also interesting, this guy also felt that the Emancipation Proclamation was one of the central reasons for the Civil War in the first place, and of course that's a joke. It never
was. Right.
So, okay, what's next?
Well, I got a very quick school update, Jimmy, here.
Okay.
I wanna tell, we periodically update our listeners with stories, horror stories about our nation's schools these days.
The continuing episodes of the stupefaction of the American nation.
Yeah, you know, we ought to have some theme music for the school update, too.
We do.
Oh,
it's
we do?
Floyd.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course we do.
Hello.
Of course we do.
Hello.
Duh.
Dick Floyd, one of the best.
Man.
I don't need no education.
That's it, man. And I'm telling
that
you.
Is, no, I mean, that's been one of my favorites forever.
Well, so. Okay, so here's the thing. One of the conditions of the school, one of the things we've seen is just no matter how much money they continue to rape from the people, they continue to have no supplies, it seems like. And the latest just slap in the face, as far as I'm concerned, my daughter comes home the other day. This is high school, right? And she says that she needs some extra credit in one of her classes. And the way she's going to get extra credit is
to blow the dean.
Well, yeah, but that was the other week.
Oh.
No. The way she's going to get extra credit is to bring in 8 rolls of Bounty towels. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, okay, let me say that again. Bring in 8 rolls of Bounty towels. Now, you might be asking yourself,
it has to be Bounty. Can't be a one.
Well, actually, I'm agreeer on that. There's nothing better than Bounty towels.
It could be anything. The point is that here she is. They wanted to bring this in. I'm like, well, what's going on? Is there like a dinner? And, you know, are you having, is this Spanish class? Are you having like a Mexican feast? And you're bringing in the Bounty paper towels? No. Okay. I'm like, well, what are you using them for? She doesn't know. And that doesn't mean that she doesn't know what's happening in the class. It means that they haven't said anything. They're just collecting supplies. They're literally just saying, if you just bring in some paper towels and some paper or maybe some pencils, we'll give you some extra credit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like,
you got a B plus. You want an A? Bring me some.
Yeah, how much was the extra credit, by the way?
I don't know.
I mean but what if you brought in 16 rolls? I mean, could you just buy your way through the school?
What if you brought in like a gold necklace?
That's what it comes down to. Exactly. No, the gold necklace won't wipe any bum. Exactly. No. It had to be paper towels, toilet paper, pencils, pens, you know.
I just couldn't believe it.
No,
To top it off, to hit the other side of my cheek here.
She wanted mixers.
No.
Yeah, right. Mixers.
I don't know what we're using it for, but we need a 1.75 bottle of vodka.
Teacher's Lounge takes on a whole new meaning.
This is great. We just get these extra credit homework assignments. We're making out.
They don't get their living allowance anymore. They get the students to bring it in.
We're going to an extra credit party tonight at the school. Extra credit dance.
extra credit dance.
So she brings home her report card, okay, like the following week. And I'm looking at it, and of course I'm looking at it closely to figure out what it says, and I'm reading it and everything. And I go,
your paper towels bought.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Trying to see what I traded up for. And it was firmer than the paper towel paper, so I thought I made a good deal. And,
it was papyrus.
But I turn it over to the backside, and I'm looking at it, and it's kind of unintelligible. It looks like it's cut off or something. And I look closer, and I realize that the backside is part of what used to be a flyer. Okay? For like the school board or something. And that they're recycling this paper.
They're just turning it over.
Just turning it over on the other side. And I'm
printing
like
printing money on one side of the bill so you can use the other side for a report card.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're green school.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh.
They're going to get those green credits from Obama. It's perfect. Oh, perfect.
And the lanyards have made their way down into the middle school now.
Yes, that's good to know.
Mandatory lanyards for all students. Although I did, my neighbor student came in, their neighbor kid came in the other day and said, I left mine off for 3 days and nobody said anything. I'm like, oh, good security there.
Good beauty security, eh?
Next year they have to swipe them to get in the class.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
So they're
being well indoctrinated though. This is the way life will be. And you will have to go any place. Any do anything, you will have to have a lanyard, a visible lanyard with your picture ID, and you will have to swipe the card. And of course, I guess pretty soon, since they can do it fairly quickly, they'll either do a DNA thing or a handprint or an eyeball retina scan or whatever.
Exactly.
To get into the mall. No, how about the individual stores? If you think about it, when the civil rights thing was passed, I don't want to go off on a tangent here about what civil rights.
Go.
But you know, when they started regulating private places. And of course, that's the South, of course, was upset. And I realize there are abuses across the board.
Get to the back of the bus.
But basically, no, not the bus was public transportation, but the
Aerobus.
But I'm talking about the hotels that basically said, look, our clientele is white. End of story. You know, we're not going to, and no Chinese, no yellows, and, you know, whatever it is that we only serve this kind of people. Well, of course, civil rights law came along and said, no, you don't have that private property doesn't exist anymore. And so this is the, I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about here? Oh, the lanyards.
Yeah, the lanyards.
Yeah, I mean, so what they're saying is now, I mean, it'll be interesting to see that if you have to have a lanyard or a swipe card to get into, you know, Macy's or JCPenney's or, you know, or Starbucks or whatever it is, if that's going to be, because if they can do it with the civil rights laws and make the, essentially make private places public, or that is totally subject to government control, how long is it before they say, for your own safety, we want to make sure that the Starbucks people are safety. So in order to go into Starbucks, Starbucks.
Well, and just
papers,
to be fair,
where are your papers?
And just to be fair, what'll happen is it'll exclude you if they haven't met their quota of your kind of person.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You
know,
you'll swipe it and they'll say, "I'm sorry, Chinese person.
We've had too many white people in this office to be." No. You're thirsty for the water.
They certainly wouldn't want to collect
drink
any
from the public.
Or it might be that they've determined that your coffee's bad for you. And so
we know your blood pressure is high.
Yeah, we know your blood pressure
Jimmy,
is high. You're excluded. You're excluded from, or if you go in, they say,
it just calls the cops.
You can have, or something. Yeah. SWAT team.
You swipe your card to get into a Starbucks.
No, yes.
And they come haul you out before you can pick up
their. That's right. This is for your own safety. It's for your own safety.
Or you go in,
and in order to buy something, you have to swipe your card, and it comes up and says, well, you can have a decaf.
Right.
But no espresso for you.
You can only have the low-fat muffin.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, exactly. You can have a
these are the menu items that are available.
That are available to you. That's right.
Dunkin' Donuts earlier today. Your cholesterol is way too high.
That's right.
The country can't afford to pay for it.
Well, that's what it'll be. The country can't afford it.
The country
can't afford
it. That's right.
Jimmy will be outside, you know, buying some young girl to go in there to get his donut.
He'll be like, coffee.
No, that's not what Jimmy's going to be paying for.
Jimmy's giving money to a young girl outside.
It ain't for going in for no donuts. Hell no.
It'll be the Starbust.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, it is just interesting. We laugh about this. It'll be interesting to see what happens 10 years from now when we look back on this show and say, you know something.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
That's great. Well,
then, when you talk about this cryogenic frozen, but we got to tell him this is exactly what happened. Hey, look, let's not let it happen. How's that?
Well, I'd love to, but you look at this stuff. I mean, the healthcare stuff has already started to take off. I mean, the other day we had a little healthcare incident, and we had to go to two or three different doctors, and every time we went to a new doctor, then we would go back to the old doctor, and they would tell us, well, we can't tell you anything because you have a new doctor. And, I mean, they're, like, looking at the results, you know, and they're like, well, we got the results here. You have to call your doctor tomorrow.
Move quickly.
And they would even tell us stuff like,
call quickly.
Like, we waited around the hospital for, like, 6 hours. And then, and like, they make you wait. And then they say, okay, go home now. We can't tell you anything. I mean, after a while, I was like, okay, I'm going to assume that because you didn't give me any information, that it can't be bad news. So that if we die tonight, you know.
Wrongful death.
Right, exactly. And they're like, wait, you can't assume that.
Assume anything with us.
Well, and they freaked out. But my point is that the death of common sense has already come in that industry, and it hasn't even been socialized yet properly.
Well, not properly. That is another thing. One of the things that I think that somebody should write a book on this called Guerrilla Hospitalization or something, because one of the things that you can do very often, and they tell you you can't, but, you know, you can walk out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, stuff like that.
We knew that. I mean, we're attorneys. We knew we could leave. But I mean, they scare the bejesus out of you.
You know, they do. They do. But, I mean, that's their club. At least they don't pull a gun on you.
Yeah.
Yet, unless you've got to take out your child.
If your swipe card doesn't work on the way out, then,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's
just after about a year of swiping to get in, you have to swipe to get back out again.
Yeah, that's right. They've done that. Well, anyway, talk about that.
But the poltergeist was going to say something.
Oh, the taser lanyard. That's coming out soon.
The taser lanyard.
Not just a taser.
Coming out soon?
Yeah, it's coming out soon.
He's got a couple of prototypes he's working with.
Well, I would like the taser lanyard. What I would like is the cell phone with the taser. I saw where somebody had done that. It's a cell phone, and then like one of those converto bots or whatever it is.
Right. That was a James Bond. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay,
that was James Bond.
No, but I mean,
it wasn't an ad.
It's perfectly realistic. I mean, I heard that somebody's come up with one, and they're trying to get some authorization or something like that.
Oh, they got the cell phone 22, you know, 4-shot fire gun.
Boy, I like that part.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course, what I liked was speaking of that, the one I really liked was that Clint Eastwood movie. Where he was protecting the president, and that guy made the gun out of some kind
ceramic.
Of ceramic, and he had, you know, it was all like broken apart. It fired like 2 shots
that
were like blow up bullets or something. And man, I'm telling you, you know, you probably could watch that movie again and figure out how to make that thing.
Mm.
They've got a gun that's totally plastic with plastic bullets, plastic shells, and totally undetectable in a radar, an X-ray, because it's.
Well, but now the TSAs are planning on using, and I'm sure the hangar dogs are talking about this, but they're using the full body scanner or trying to implement the full body scanner.
Trying scanners. To implement.
Well, this is the total recall thing.
However, it doesn't see through you. It just sees your flesh and everything that's on you. It's 1/10 of a millimeter or whatever. It just sees on you.
It sees through your clothing, like
exactly.
to where you're.
It doesn't see what
it sees
you shoved
your
up your bung Julio. So if you walked onto the plane holding a stick of dynamite with the fuse hanging out, they're gonna bust you.
Yeah.
But if you walk up there with a grenade shoved fully up your bunghole, they're not gonna see it.
They're gonna see
the size of your wang.
Well, I mean, again, the question is does it also do metal? I mean, each full body scanner costs $170,000 compared to $10,000 for a metal detector. The question is, does it have metal and scanning capabilities?
Well, for another $10,000,
obviously.
Well, just
walk
for
another $110,000. All the metal in you.
Look at that guy. He's walking through there, and it looks like he has a Coke bottle hanging out of his. What is this?
But it's like the sweep takes a lot longer. So, again, it's not going to do anything to shorten the lines at the airport security. Yeah. So there you go.
Security is a small s.
It's very
we
small.
Put that in quotes.
Right.
It's going to be security in like
it's
a very
point
short
two
period
size
of time.
Font.
Yeah, right. Jesus. Those guys are.
It's
I mean,
one
it's,
pixel.
Well, I mean, but again, this is part of the thing. Don't you feel safer now? Don't
yes.
you just feel safer?
Right.
And it is the mantra, of course, is then they'll say this, like, we haven't been attacked since, you know,
right.
whatever it is.
They prevented it all.
Well, we've got 9 documented ones we prevented.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've got 9 trillion lighters.
Yeah.
They're stimulating the lighter industry.
We got 9 trillion lighters, and we're having a fire sale.
And we got enough nail clippers to open a salon and, you know, whatever in every state. So.
Yeah, they said they went through some of the stuff that they had. Well, I mean, but all of this, it is just is mind boggling to me that the sheeple, you know, go for this stuff.
And it's all good.
Yeah,
for
it's
us.
All good. Well, as I say, I ask these people who, some of the people who are in lawmaking positions, as I say, here locally, these people are not, they're obviously OCD control freaks and so forth to that extent, but I don't think in their heart of hearts that they've got, you know, bad bones in their body. I mean, I think they kind of honestly think that they're doing the best thing in a way. But my deal is that when you point out to them the damage that's done, and you gotta, you know, it doesn't have to take rocket science. I mean, these people have contacts with Tallahassee and Washington and everything. And they've gotta understand that mathematically, when you print up an extra trillion or two, it's gonna hurt their children and their grandchildren. I mean, they personally
they
are gonna be
understand.
Harmed by this.
They don't understand that. They
in
really
order for
think
them to
that...
sleep, they live in such denial.
Well, that's it. I mean, that
matter.
Is your is. I mean, that of course is why I've always recommended a 12-step program for politicians, because step one is you have to get past
the
denial.
You walk in the door. Step two, you get kicked out of the door. The other 10 steps are we hire someone else. Look, I know that we can't really have, you know, term limits on, well, why not? Hold on. Let's be honest. Should politics really be a career? Should we really have career politicians? Should we have Ted Kennedys who spend their entire, not only their life, but their father's lives and their father's life? I mean, is this what we really want? People whose only job is to take and waste your money? Give me a break.
Well, not us.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, it.
So then there should be term limits, and we shouldn't.
Well, we have, it's interesting because we do locally here, for instance, we got a little upset, and I forget what the city, I think it's the city commission now is term limited after, you know, 6 years or something like that. Because again, we've seen it around the country as people get more and more upset with the career politicians. And the argument that the politicians make is, well, you're going to lose all that experience. And I said,
perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next, come again.
Yeah, right. I mean,
argument against it is that then there'll be a permanent structure that surrounds them.
Right.
That is,
right.
A lobbyist will be the permanent structure.
Well, that's right. And staff, because they'll be the ones that have the history.
Well, it's
right.
Already the way it is. I mean, if you go to D.C., every time there's a change of administration, how many people do you think leave the city? Do you really think it's, you know, 400,000 people who work for the federal government that leave the city every time there's a new administration? No, of course not. It's 40,000 people max. It's 15,000 inside in the administration. What are the rest of these people doing? Well, they're actually wasting your money, can't wait to get more of it, and spending your dime. That's exactly what happens in D.C. I live there. That's the way it is.
Yeah, no, well, I've been up there, and I understand exactly what you're saying. And this is, again, it's all covered in just mathematical, precise detail by Ludwig von Mises in a book called Bureaucracy. I mean, it's just covered. I mean, every word, you know, you can't write a better book. And yet, if you don't read The Road to Serfdom or Bureaucracy or some of those, and they're skinny books. I mean, it's not a big, long book. These books are, you know, 75 or 100 pages. I mean, if you don't read this stuff, you're doomed. I mean, it's just, even Bastiat's The Law. It's a pamphlet,
you
for God's sake.
You don't know the power of the federal side.
This has most of that stuff in there. Well, let me, okay, how are we doing on time?
Well, we got about 10 minutes. So
do you want to zing into? I was going to talk about this lady's predictions, but that's going to probably take too long. Do you want to go into light notes?
Sure.
I think we ought to dive into light notes.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
That's fine.
We have light note music?
No. Okay, good.
we shot the organist.
To segue into light notes, I'm going to talk about the breastfeeding, cell-using driver charge.
All right.
In Kettering, Ohio, police say an Ohio woman has been charged with child endangerment after another motorist reported she was both breastfeeding her youngster and talking on the cell phone while driving. Police in Dayton suburb of Kettering said the caller told them she saw the woman Thursday. Officer MB said authorities used the license plate number to track down 39-year-old Genuine Compton, whatever. She had said the woman told officers she was breastfeeding and wouldn't let her child go hungry. Burke said the legal concern is that Compton had a child in her lap while driving, not that she was breastfeeding in public. That's good news. Said the child was under 2 years old. Police say the woman faces up to 180 days in jail and an $1,800 fine.
Well, that's like the smallest crime you can get, though.
But I mean, isn't it just stunning that here she is? She's got a 2-year-old child, and when I was growing up, there were no seat belts in cars or anything, and there wasn't like the roads were littered with babies.
But you survived.
Barely.
All right. You died.
I probably shouldn't have.
Jimmy died.
Yeah, Jimmy died. But I mean, here she is breastfeeding her kid. I mean, you know, and of course she's talking on her cell phone. But the thing that gets me about it is she was ratted out by a fellow motorist.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is where it's headed. It is where you get an award. You get a stamp of approval. You get a gold star for ratting out your fellow motorist. I'm just stunned by the mentality. It's a tattletale society. What are you talking about? You know, shut up.
They've convinced the people out there that driving in any way other than perfect driving is somehow a crime. I mean, obviously this woman didn't hit anybody because they had to track her down.
Yeah, they had to track her down.
She successfully did the cell phone and breastfeeding.
Right.
I mean, what more do you want? You know, she made it. You know, she did it. So,
so now what are the question, of course, I have is, what are they going to do with the child for 180 days while she's in jail? Probably DCF.
Well,
right?
Okay. First of all, she's not going to get the 180 days in jail.
It's different from in Ohio. It's not DCF.
They're going to, I was getting to that. In my opinion, they will do something in terms of her child. That is, if she was in Florida, they would definitely shelter the child and they would, that's an automatic shelter in the child down here.
Child endangerment.
Yeah, they'd give the child back to her probably the next day, and then she'd have to complete a little program or something.
Right, 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 right.
But she's not going to get any. She wouldn't get any time in Florida for that. You'd get probation or something. You'd get the 6 months probation or something.
Of course, that's $35 or $40 a month.
$50 a month.
$50. Yep, it's gone up.
Minimum. 50. That's like your minimum plus the fines and everything. That's a couple $1,000 for sure.
She could sell the breast milk that she's not giving to the kid while she's in the can. That's worth something.
Cheetah cheese.
Cheese, baby.
But yeah, I mean,
Virginia cheese.
Yeah, it's crazy. But hey, man, like I said, she made it. I mean, I don't know why they can.
So, well, I think the whole process, though, I mean, can you imagine? They tracked her down.
Oh, yeah.
After a tip from a motorist who took down her. I'm going like, what is going on with you people?
Tip for tit.
Get a light.
What are you going to do?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I just to say, it's sort of a light note in a way because, you know, breastfeeding, cell phone, you know, why not have it? Probably had a McDonald's and a cigarette, you know, I don't know.
She was eating, putting on makeup.
That's it. Yeah, makeup, right, the whole deal. Okay, fine. You know, but like you say, nobody got killed. But I mean, it's getting to the point where, like you say, and you have to have your seatbelt on. And I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, going like, well, shut up.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Kid that eats the most marbles wins.
Supposed to die.
Okay, you win. You die, but you win.
That's right. Darwin Award.
I did like this. I just got to mention it. Will sent us in something, Kansas Will, and he goes, you know, type in, you know, whatever your name is in needs in Google.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I just did that for Jimmy, and the first one because it says, Jimmy needs to get laid petition. number one on Google.
Holy smokes. How do they know that? That Google is so smart.
It's so smart. Man.
How do it know?
It's like 76 million needs. Did you count them? Yeah, you know, you come back at 76 million pages. For Engineer Eric, it was 30 million.
That's right. Send that list to Santa.
Did you see that there was a 12-year-old Boy Scout who volunteered to give
volunteered? Hell, he's
exams.
Getting a damn badge for it.
Yeah.
Yes. No, and he's going to actually do the fondling and the feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, they had him on interview. It's a YouTube thing. There's two of them. They're scouts. They're like going to become Eagle Scouts or whatever they are.
They were sitting there. They were interviewed.
They're getting a breast cancer awareness badge.
That sounds like a movie.
When did
the Boy Scouts start offering breast cancer badges?
When they could get away with it.
Right.
Hello. When you were 12 years old, how would you like to have been investigating a 20, 25-year-old for breast cancer?
Look, I was doing what I could when I could. Okay, yeah, I'm a simple guy.
They're going to double their roles.
Oh yeah, no, this is a recruitment opportunity if there ever was.
Oh yeah,
recruitment.
No question. No question.
Absolutely.
We're talking about it now,
but this has already spread like fire through the middle school campuses. You know, I mean, there's
right.
no.
How
question.
About cervical cancer? I mean, you know, here I've got a tool here that's used to detect that.
That's right, exactly. Let me put this little thing on here, and we'll.
It's self lubricating. Yeah,
that's right. Hell yeah. I'm just a kid.
Yeah, not a problem.
Hard.
Well, I'm almost done. Hold on. I mean, just got to finish this exam.
I need about 30 seconds.
That's right. That's right. Where's my band?
Booyah! You're good.
Yeah.
You're
safe.
Next. You might still die. I don't know about that, but you're good, baby.
Hold my next appointment for about 15 minutes.
That's right.
I need a cigarette.
That's right.
And an insurer.
Holy cow.
Sandwich.
Well, then there was, of course, speaking of sex, there was the Russian.
The Russian guy.
He died. He died.
Right.
I mean,
from Viagra.
From Viagra. What happened was he took
40.
It's right here somewhere.
It was much more than he should have at one time.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly.
I don't know. Anyway, but I mean.
It was the, exactly, Christian Upper.
Okay, 28-year-old mechanic, Sergey Tuganov, reportedly accepted a $4,300 bet from two women who claimed he didn't have the stamina to endure an all-day sex session with them. Mm-hmm. 12 hours and a whole bottle of Viagra later, the dirty deed was done. Unfortunately,
so was
Mr. Durganov, right? So,
I love this. According to Moscow police, the heroic grease monkey thrusted last mere moments after the winning the wages. What are you going to do with $4,300 when you're dead?
Have a $4,300 funeral.
Somewhat predictable
kind of
heart attack.
Yeah, so, and then again, listener, Larry sent us in the joke. What was the.
Oh, yeah, listen, Larry sent in the joke. He says, well, there was the gentleman who went to the doctor to get a double dose of Viagra, and he said, Doc, I got it. The doc says, I can't do that. You know, it's dangerous. You know, might have a heart attack. Doc, you don't understand. I got my girlfriend coming in on Friday. I got any for this weekend. Girlfriend coming in on Friday. My mistress coming in on Saturday. My wife's coming in on Sunday. I've got to perform for all of them. I mean, I just got, so the doctor finally writes a prescription, says, now you got to come back here Monday. I got to make sure you're healthy and everything like that. The guy comes back in Monday with his arm in a sling. And the doctor says, whoa, what happened? He says, nobody showed up. so that was the tidbit for the day. How much time we got? How are we doing here?
We're
well over.
We're pretty low, but we're almost done here. But I wanted to say that there was a police chief in this town, and he wants to lower the drinking age.
Don't laugh. I wrote to the city commission here and told them they have a problem here with underage drinking. They're having a whole new ordinance here on fines for bars. Mm-hmm. If you get caught with this, they have a whole schedule now, a whole brand new schedule where if the bar holds more than 113 and a half people, or if it holds less than 45 or whatever it is, then you're allowed one violation every other week or two violations a month or whatever. And then you get points and everything else. And then you have fines
and then
nobody under 21 is allowed and so forth. And of course, my solution to this was lower the drinking age to 16. Done.
Right.
End of story. No more underage drinking. I mean, at least it would go way down.
And I love this, the police chief, and this is the last sentence type of thing. He goes, we've lived through prohibition. We know prohibition doesn't work. We know that on our colleges, we know that on our college campuses, we know that in our households, we know that in the military. You know, it just doesn't work. And I love it. EJ writes me and he goes, he's just tired of having to buy his son's beer.
Come on, man. And he wants his son to buy him beer.
Right, here's a
50. Go get me a bottle of Jack.
Apparently this is in Vermont.
I had to shoot a white
Vermont,
chicken.
The People's Republic of Vermont. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is Boulder, Colorado. Wow.
Well, no, that's the same, though. Boulder. Ooh, yeah.
Boulder,
except for the Air Force, it's all like, isn't that like commie liberal land? That's what, that's Hangar Dog territory.
Yeah, I know.
Right next door.
And then the last thing I got is just this man, he broke the Guinness Book of World Records for watching 72 hours of TV. And I was Yeah. Well, he goes, I feel fine. I drank between 25 and 30 cups of coffee. His previous record was 69 hours and 48 minutes set in 2005. And this is
like
Stockholm
in
Sweden.
You can't take your eyes off of it or something?
I don't know what the...
I bet they give them a break every so often.
I'll beat that.
These are the same thing that they used to do in Congress. You get a kidney bag. I mean, you know, you stand there and...
Right.
In the old time days when you do the filibuster, they were serious about it. You stood there and did it, you know, I think Strom Thurmond or somebody had the record at the time for, you know, 40, 50 hours or something. But, I mean, you basically peed down your leg. I'm sorry. That's it. It's exactly what you did.
Nice.
You didn't get no break.
Yeah. 14-year-old Paige's sucking his wee.
Oh, God.
Edit.
but I do have to say that, Jimmy, there's no question that you could have the Guinness Book of World Records for watching Channel 12 here, the local government channel.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Most people, five seconds.
Well, you know, they're doing the Guinness World Record. You can now submit it over the Internet. That's why it gets updated.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like it's the Guinness World Book of Records as of 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And so yeah, Channel 12 here. I could document my Channel 12 watching for 5-10 minutes. Boom.
Yeah, you're in. Oh, and I mean, and yeah, well, that record would stay for a while.
Yeah. Of course, unfortunately, my brain has already turned to mush.
Right.
And that would be an equivalent way.
Clockwork.
I mean, that
orange.
Would be like getting the world's record for drinking tequila or something. You know, you'd be dead when it's over.
I won.
Yeah, I won. Boom. That's it. Where's my $4,300?
Those marbles.
That's right. Well, thank you guys. This has been a great show. We're gonna do another one here fairly soon, I hope.
Yep.
This one actually went well, I thought.
Yep.
EJ, my buddy, thank you so much.
So good to see you guys. I can't wait to see you again.
Yep, that's good.
Good to be here.
All you dogs out there in Colorado, get them.
Hanger Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Go check out the Hanger Dogs. They've been popping out shows like...
Yeah, they're where... They're been,
Come
been,
on, say it.
No, I can't say it. I had something good, but it's too good for the year.
You're too soft.
If you play the show backwards, you'll hear it.
That's it. The devil will take you. That's it. And
thanks,
good
Gino,
luck
for
on...
writing in. Gina wrote in.
Yeah, yeah.
We got some the cop cars from from Waxman.
Yeah, that's right.
From Bart.
From
Counselor to be Bart.
Oh,
no, the
God,
chicks.
Thanks.
The chicks always. No, but the thanks. Cars were. I mean, did you see some of those cops?
The pissed out cop cars.
Yeah, I mean, really, there was one that was like a Formula One or something. Yeah. For police, you know.
What a link to that.
What I'm thinking is, what's so funny about that in a way is, this has to do also with the government control is the forfeiture laws.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you say and we have cars around here that says this was taken from a drug dealer.
Right.
And it's like a $100,000
car.
Hey, thank you. Do you think the incentive is to do the scam, sting, bust, whatever it is on anybody?
Well, I mean, every cop on the beat's going, God, I want one of those.
Yeah. You
know, I mean, they're
so what,
looking.
OJ didn't have a good car?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't get it.
It wasn't his car.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't his car.
I don't know.
All right, we'll see you next time.
All right.
Eat more chocolate.
You had to get that in. That's Kirshan Chocolate. It's on the website.
Kirshan Chocolate's on our homepage.
By the way, have a record last.
Second
time. We had like one show last month or two shows, I guess.
Well, you know, something.
And then people are still listed. Thank you.
Right. And we might be on uswebtalkradio.com soon.
Yeah. And email us at
jimmy@jimmydone.com. Cool.
See ya.